today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Following the Lord with all of your heart. It's not the easiest life, but it is life, and it's where life abundantly is found in following Him. So your job can become a joy. It's ministry. Your attitude becomes like that of Christ's. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. For the joy set before you, whether you're thinking of heaven or the eternal rewards or really Jesus, the desire to follow Him, to see Him and be inspired by Him and just to follow Him, it will keep you going. Even life here can get better, but not necessarily the way your flesh wants it to. You've got to separate from that.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
As Pastor Troy opens up the scriptures, we hear more about what's required of those who desire to follow Jesus. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. In the same way, we are called to take up our cross and follow Him. It's never a good trade to sacrifice our treasure in heaven for the trinkets of this world. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 26, with today's study.
The best New Testament example of victorious Christian living is found in Galatians 2:20, when Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." That is the perfect example of victorious Christian living. No longer am I living according to everything I think and want and feel. Christ is living in me. Christ wasn't going to do it. I'm not going to do it. If He didn't have time for it, I don't have time for it. If Christ would take time for it and carry the burden of it, I will too. Christ lives in us. So that's denying self. I think then we must pick up our cross. The reality in this statement is that everyone who wants to follow Jesus has a cross to pick up. I know some naturally think, I know, I married mine. I carry mine with me everywhere we go, you know, in the passenger seat, it's my cross. Well, we're not talking about nuisances in your life, and we're certainly not talking about the consequences of your choices, consequences of sin. Sometimes we confuse those for being crosses. No, those aren't crosses at all. Maybe a thorn in the flesh, a burden, but not the cross. See, carrying the cross is a picture of submission to the Lord, submission to the Father, whatever the cost. Some will use this portion of the scripture, and I've even done it, to say, this is an instrument of death. So what he's saying is here, die to yourself. But I want to say something about that. This means more than dying to yourself, because to die to yourself would be easier than what this says. That's why there's such a high suicide rate. It's easier to die than to live at times. So, here's what would happen, to give us some context of the thinking here. When a man was condemned in the Roman Empire, he never heard from the Roman government or the soldiers, "Get on the back of the horse, I'm going to take you to where you're being crucified. You know, get in the vehicle, we'll take you over there, or we'll carry you. Or you know what, let's just give you your last ride, make it easy on you." Even Jesus, after the brutal beating, was to carry his cross. And the picture that would be ingrained in the minds of the people was this. This person who was once an enemy of Rome, this person who once defied Rome, maybe even they declared, "I won't even serve Rome, I'm against Rome." Well, this person is now going to serve Rome with the rest of their life. How? They're going to carry their cross. Our soldiers aren't going to do it. We're not going to do it. You're going to do it. And so he would carry his own cross to his place of death. And ultimately at the end was his death. However long or short his life might be, he would serve Rome. That government that he opposed, now he would serve with the rest of his life. See, that's the picture in taking up your cross. You and I, we were once an enemy of the government of the kingdom of heaven. We opposed that. We didn't want to have anything. We didn't want to submit to it. And so when we choose now, we're going to pick up our cross. What we're saying is, not only am I denying self, which would be a lot like the death part, I am going to do something active. I am going to serve, even if it leads to my death. With the rest of my life, I'm going to serve this kingdom. That's the picture of carrying the cross, picking up your cross. If you will talk to martyrs, missionaries who've given their lives, some of those who would go right now over into the area where the Ebola virus is at a panic stage, but they're going in. It's scriptures like this. They say, I get it. I am serving the kingdom of heaven, even if it leads to my death. I'm in. I'm going to pick up my cross and I'm going to follow Jesus. See, there's so much more than just the die to yourself. Because Romans 7, Paul said that we don't really die. The old nature doesn't really die. We deny it. It keeps fighting. And so we must deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus. Because that old nature wants to stumble us. So now, with all of this heavy stuff, is it worth it? I think that's why Jesus kept talking. Verse 25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Just in case some were thinking, well, this doesn't sound really all that appealing, Lord. I mean, pick up your cross, deny yourself. Not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about establishing a kingdom. Yo. And you're talking about picking up a cross. So just in case, Jesus says, well, let me show you, or let me tell you the real end result. If you want to build your life, you want to save your life, here's the end. You're going to lose it. It's all going to be in for naught, nothing, meaningless. But if you will live for that which is beyond, denying yourself some things, denying yourself here, it will be more than worth it. You will have life. You will have life abundantly, the scripture says. So it is worth it. The conclusion is that nothing compares to denying yourself here in favor of what is to come. And since we do still think about, well, you know what, is there anything in this life that I would get? Well, your marriage will improve. When you stop making it about you, your marriage will get a lot better. Your job will become a joy. When you start realizing there's purpose in it, there's ministry in your job. Why am I the only one who gets here on time? Why am I the only one doing things right? I follow everything. I'm tired of it. The Lord's saying, but you're the only light. You're a light. I take a light. You're the light of the world, and I set you up. I set you up, and I don't cover it. I want it to shine. And you're salt that still has its saltiness. Not like the others who tag in and come in late and don't work hard, who say they're Christians. They're like salt, but they're like salt that's lost its saltiness. But you have flavor. You're preserving. You sting a little bit, too. You know, some of those guys who aren't doing the right things. Your salt and your light in this world. That's why it's a little bit harder. That's why you're picking up your cross each day and doing the right things, following the Lord with all of your heart. It's not the easiest life, but it is life, and it's where life abundantly is found in following Him. So your job can become a joy. It's ministry. Your attitude becomes like that of Christ's. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before you, whether you're thinking of heaven or the eternal rewards or really Jesus, the desire to follow him, to see him and be inspired by him and just to follow him, it will keep you going. Even life here can get better, but not necessarily the way your flesh wants it to. You've got to separate from that. He's saying nothing compares to life lived for the kingdom of God, and that the consequences of not living for the kingdom, though they may seem attractive, fun, all those things, in the end, they're empty. They're empty. And he says in verse 26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" He's saying, is there really something you would hold on to so tightly that you'd be willing to sacrifice your own soul, your own eternity? Is there anything? What is that thing? I mean, if you are unwilling to follow Christ, considering all that the scriptures tell us about the consequences of that choice, the results of that, what is it that you would really be holding on to? And is it worth it? Oh, the author of Ecclesiastes would tell us absolutely not. The author of Ecclesiastes says, I had this and I went this and I had this and I gained all this. And I found myself empty after all of it. And it's like, what's the meaning of life? It's without purpose. And then he goes on to say, even the unrighteous are excelling. Great things are happening for them. And I think, well, what good is it to be one of the righteous if that's happening? But his conclusion was this. He said, then I went to the house of the Lord and I realized the end of it all. I was able to look beyond death. I was able to look beyond just this temporal world, and I saw that there's something more significant. There's something more meaningful to live for. He said, and I can let go of all of this other stuff, and life begins to take on new meaning. When that happens, it begins to change. Don't sell your soul. Don't even sacrifice a little of your reward in heaven for something you think might satisfy you here on earth. Because let me tell you, it's never a good trade. It's never a good trade to sacrifice being all in, earning all those rewards in heaven for trinkets, some applause, a trophy. Look at my trophy, Lord. First place. We were underdogs. How about this golden crown, huh? That you could have earned. I think I'd rather have that which is eternal. Today, if you don't know the Lord, what trinket are you holding on to that would be worth sacrificing, losing your own soul? I mean, you know, you understand God forgives and you hold bitterness and anger or something. There's something in you. You just don't want to be able to forgive someone. And so you don't want to commit yourself and follow this Lord who forgives. You want to hold on to this anger. Is that it? Because that'll destroy your life. It'll eat you up. Is it a nice car? I want to be able to buy expensive things. And I hear Jesus had no place to lay his head. So I want to get all that I can out of life before I totally commit. How about a relationship? Would you give up reward in heaven, following Christ, living a good life with Christ for a relationship? Let me just tell you, there is no relationship on planet Earth between two people that will compare and will not lead to some disappointment. None. It's not worth it to follow Christ. That's where we need to place our lives. Is it the salary or the applause of men? Would that really be worth your soul, though? Would it even be worth any of the treasures in heaven? The only wise decision is to place your soul in the hands of the one who picked up his own cross, denied himself because of the joy set before him, you, who loves you that much. Nothing in this life were ever fully satisfied. They promised to. I mean, that's the temptation of sin. It'll make me feel better. It'll fulfill. It'll meet this need. And so we're drawn, we're attracted, we're tempted, but we're always left wanting more. We're wanting another. You win a championship, you need another one. I've never heard of a team who won the Super Bowl, who tasted it and gone, we're good. I said, next year, we're going to work harder. We know how hard it is. And the next year, if they don't win, after that championship game that would lead them to the Super Bowl, 1 point away, you don't hear them going, well, we won last year. We're good. No, they're disappointed. They're upset. They want to get there again. It's never enough. Nothing is ever enough because it does not satisfy. It's temporal. And if you have the new man, in fact, even if you're dead today in your sins, you know there's more. I've tried, I've tasted, and there's more. There's got to be more. Because we're not built for this alone. We're built for more. And it's where we need to place our lives, in Jesus' hands, following Him towards more. But Jesus says, I'm coming back. And those who follow me, I'll be bringing my reward. Verse 27, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to his works. It's getting better and better for those who follow Him. Now there's rewards, and He's coming. So He says, you know I'm calling you to something hard. I know that. I don't say something like, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me, not knowing that's not hard. He says, it's worth it. I'm going to come back. So not only are you going to be on the winning side of all of this, I've got gifts. I've got rewards. They're going to be awesome rewards. So follow me. The Christian life is already the most exciting life on planet Earth. It's fulfilling, more fulfilling than any life that there is. But Jesus still promises more reward. It gets better and better. As we go to heaven, we have a reward that lasts eternally. And there's nothing we can deny. You can't pick up your cross. You can't deny yourself once without cha-ching in heaven. I mean, it's awesome. It's a great investment of your life to do this, to follow Him. Because our rewards just build up in heaven. Now you might think, well, now you're making us a church that wants the reward. Well, I'm not telling you to, you know, give so you can get your hundredfold. But there isn't anything wrong with allowing reward in heaven to help motivate us. Even Jesus said, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. There's going to be treasures in heaven, so work on those things. And think about it this way. It still requires faith. Because you don't think there's going to be rewards in heaven for you enough to sacrifice anything on earth unless you believe they're going to be there, which means you would believe Jesus who said they're going to be there. So it still requires faith to deny here and build up there. Of course, that's a moot point once you taste and see. Because then the rewards, just they're a bonus. As you grow, as you mature, the reward is a bonus. What you love is just following Christ, man. It's good. No place I'd rather be. It's that good. So sometimes following Him is very difficult. You can ruffle those who are closest to you, and it seems like it's very costly. But in Luke chapter 18, verse 28 through 30, when Peter said, Lord, we've left everything to follow you, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. Now, this is not telling us that I'm a Christian, I'm born again, my wife isn't, I'm leaving her. I'm leaving for the cause of Christ. Wrong. No, we're to win them to Christ. We're to represent Christ to them. They're not our cross, but they certainly are our ministry. They take time. And so we are to live for the Lord. However, when we live for Christ and we live sold out for Him, putting Him first, if in the process people begin to go, "You're too holy, you're too much, I don't know about you," or "I want out of this relationship," or whatever might come as a result of being all in for Christ, He's saying that is a cost that will happen. He says, but when that cost comes, you will receive so much more for it. It'll be worth it. We do lose friends as you seek to grow. So much, man. I've seen Christians I had looked up to at one time, and then I'm following the Lord, and those very Christians over the course of years, they look and go, "You're getting too holy. Too holy. I'm following the Lord. He's the one that's done this. If I'm too holy, God did that. I'm holy because of the Lord." You know, we pick up our cross, we follow Him, we deny ourselves. And it's different for each person right now. I remember when the big deal for me was, you know, cable television. Cutting the cord there. I didn't have time for it anyway, so it shouldn't have been that big a deal. And I didn't watch it. But my wife struggled with it. And she kept telling me, "We need to get this turned off. We need to, you know, shut it down or do something." Because I, you know, I get drawn to it, the news or, you know, whatever it is. And so I thought, you know, you got to grow up. You got to mature. You're busy about the Lord's business, you know? Cables. So I'm willing. Here I am, willing to continue to pay the cable bill, telling her, "Let's not watch it. I'm not watching it. We'll just keep paying the bill." Like, what is that all about? So finally, my wife, and if you know her, she's not a big woman. She's little. She moved out the TV and the entertainment. This was back when the entertainment centers were big, you know. She moved out the entertainment center, and all that was left there was the cable. And she said, "It's out of here." And I'm like, I had a choice to make. That defiant woman, you know. I'm bringing it back in here and do all the extra work just to come in here and make a point when I knew God was working on my heart anyway. Or I could go, "You know what? She moved it all. She did the hard work. You know, all I got to do is stop paying the bill. All I got to do is call the cable company and go, 'You know what? I know it's a good deal. Yeah, I know it's on sale. I know you want to keep me as a customer. But listen, I'm trying to follow the Lord, okay? Well, don't blame me. I know cable's not bad.'" And trying to explain yourself and do all that stuff that comes along with it. And then people will say, "You're too holy. You're too zealous. You're weird." Well, I'll tell you, nothing has helped me think more straight and more clear. Nothing than getting rid of all that media input. And I'll tell you that as a fact. The world is confusing. The signals that the world, the messages the world sends, they're confusing. They entice us. They attract us. They've got channels for everything. You like cooking? "Oh, I got to cook like that. Oh, I got to have that pot set. And I got to have that one. Oh, I need a chef hat and everything. I need all this." You need it. ESPN, sports channels. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, man, look at that. And now with today's digital TV, I don't have to miss a single game. I got them all in there. Man, you can't even pass your math test. But you know every score of every game. 7-4. He's holding this. He's on third. He's got this. He's got... And you, how much of the Bible do you know? Hey, saved by grace. Just try unplugging for a week or something. Get in the Bible. Look, denying ourselves, picking up our cross, following Him.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you.
Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off the next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we'd like to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Maybe the teaching you heard is exactly what you're looking for in a church. Then please join us. You can find our service times for Sunday morning worship and our midweek Bible studies at our website. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. Again, for more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll be able to listen to or download any of our messages, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to say thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you.
Somehow I survive, and I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.